Well now.
Hey.
We're back.
Back in action. Sorry, there was a weird pause there. I thought I was going to sneeze. I didn't. I don't know. It's, hi.
Hi. Hi. Hi, everyone. It's Prosecco Theory here.
Here we are.
Coming at you in your ear holes.
Why does ear holes always make me feel weird and gross and laugh at the same time?
That's why I say it. I don't know, but that's exactly why I say it.
It's like a bad joke.
That I love to perpetuate.
You do you.
So I found a bunch of articles about stuff we were going to talk about tonight while I was at work today. And then I printed them so I could read them later because I really am just an analog person. I like things on paper. I want to highlight stuff.
I know you do. You've got like colored highlighters. Yeah. You like to organize your organizing.
Yeah. Well, but then later on when I go back to look at it, I have no idea what I meant by any of the organizing. So, you know, anyway, I did all that. I have these articles here in front of me. And then I ended up coming over here an hour earlier than I was going to. And so I haven't read any of them.
And now we're almost two bottles deep on Prosecco. But so, hey,
here we go.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Good thing we're not talking about anything serious tonight. Well, not serious to us anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about all the Benjamins.
Money.
It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
That's right.
Who said that?
Oh, fuck. It says Jay-Z.
Nope.
No. 50 Cent.
Nope. Diddy.
Diddy. Of course it was Diddy.
Yeah, but it was released when he was Puff Daddy. Wait. Just wait for it.
We're going to get sued, Megan. We're not allowed to do this. What?
Don't sue us.
Don't sue us. Please. It's fine. We don't make any money off this anyway.
We have no money to give you.
That's right. So, money. Let's talk about money. I started reading a book that you picked up for me at a bookstore.
All right.
Not that long ago. It was wrapped like a present. At the bookstore when you wrapped it.
Right. It was one of those displays that had all wrapped books. And it was like, pick this book and give it to somebody who loves, you know, fill in the blank, whatever.
Right.
So you didn't know what the book was. So it was a surprise to both of you when they opened it.
Yes. And the little teaser that somebody had written down about it was basically like Schitt's Creek inspired rom-com set in the Pacific Northwest or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So I just started reading it this weekend, and I'm four chapters in, like barely anything. But it's essentially that same, here is this rich, out-of-touch person who loses their wealth and has to live like a regular human being. And human being? Did I say human being?
When humans are peeing, that's pretty regular.
Stars, they're just like us.
Prosecco.
Anyway, you know what I'm saying. So it got me thinking about when celebrities or very wealthy people lose their money.
And sometimes just because they're dumb with it. Like, like 50 Cent, he filed bankruptcy. I'm pretty sure.
I do have a whole article on that I haven't read yet. Hold on.
He was very popular for a while. He probably made enough money that he could have set himself up.
This article that I saw was written in 2015 when it had just happened.
Okay.
It says rapper 50 Cent was once worth an estimated $155 million, according to Forbes, and now he just filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. He isn't the only one. And then it lists a bunch of other people. So I didn't get the actual deets on him, but...
Yeah. You know what? I just Googled it, and this is the first thing that popped up. Jackson, because obviously his name's not 50 Cent.
It's not?
No, it's Curtis Jackson.
I know.
Hate to tell you. Jackson's bankruptcy case started when a woman won a $7 million settlement against him in 2015 for posting a sex tape.
Don't
Soon
post
after, he filed for bankruptcy to help with that debt, as well as his failed business ventures. That's really interesting because there's certain debt that you can't get relief from in bankruptcy, like taxes and student loan debt and
government got to get that money.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a specific list of debt that you can't get excused through bankruptcy, but having a judgment against you for releasing a sex tape, I don't believe is on that list. So
then that woman just gets nothing?
Well, it was Chapter 11.
There's what, Chapter 7 and Chapter 11?
Chapter 13.
I don't know the differences between those chapters.
Well, chapter 7 is what most, like, the average Joe usually does, which is basically like, I need you to excuse all these debts because I have no money to pay them and I'm not going to be able to pay them.
Right.
Chapter 11, chapter 13, there's usually a plan where the debtor is going to pay the creditor something, but it might be like pennies on the dollar. But they at least are getting something. So then all the creditors have to consent to this lesser payout. And then the bankruptcy court will approve the plan. And as long as you follow the plan, once you're done with it, your bankruptcy is terminated.
Mm-hmm. I just flipped to the Donald Trump section of this bankruptcy article here just to see what I could see if there were any chapter numbers, but I don't see any here. It does say this is from moneyfit.org, and I've never heard of moneyfit.org, but it's a .org, so that makes me think it's not totally bullshit.
You filed bankruptcy. I don't think your money's very fit.
Well, right. That's why they're reporting on this stuff. Anyway, it says, the only thing that sets former President Trump apart from his contemporaries on this list is the kind of bankruptcy he filed. Many of the people making up the list filed for personal bankruptcy. Donald Trump, at the time of writing, which was end of 2021, has never had to resort to that. Rather, he had to declare bankruptcy for his past businesses. So he essentially had everything in fucking shells and was able to
So those were probably chapter 11s also.
Yeah.
Chapter 7, chapter 13 are usually the personal. And there's other kinds as well, but those three are the most common.
I did not know that Burt Reynolds had to file bankruptcy.
Really?
Yeah. He splashed his cash on everything from his estate Valhalla to luxuries like sport cars and horses. He also splurged on, quote, great women, even at the expense of his marriage. And
huh. I could see that.
Sure. I mean, we've talked about before. It must be difficult. Well, difficult. This is, you know, relative for sure. But like to maybe suddenly have that kind of money or maybe even over time have that amount of money and be able to live like that. And then not, like, it would be really difficult to say no to a lot of those things.
Did you see that Jeff Bezos today came out and said that he's planning on giving away most of his fortune during his lifetime?
Did he?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's a pivot for sure.
Absolutely. I don't want to spoil anything, but y'all, if you have Apple TV, go watch the show Loot. There's one season out. It's Maya Rudolph, Adam Scott.
Ooh, I like the cast already.
It's fucking great.
Love those two.
They are married and are billionaires. And then things go a little awry in their relationship. And it's, I found myself thinking as I was watching it of the parallels with Jeff and Mackenzie Bezos. And the show follows her. So like they split and you don't see him really, like a little bit here and there, but she gets very involved in their foundation that she basically had never even known about before. Okay. And it's really well done. And what you just said about Bezos reminded me of that. And I recommend everybody go watch it if you can.
Did we even finish the discussion about the book you're reading or did we get what? Sidetracked?
I think there's going to be a lot of sidetracking
today. I think so too.
I can't really have much of a discussion about the book I'm reading because I literally am 4 chapters in. It just made me think about people who have like had it all and then lost it all. And
like the cast of Schitt's Creek.
Exactly.
That was what made that show so great is that you saw these kind of like shallow people that didn't have much
a-holes.
Yeah, didn't have much depth turn into
right.
warm, caring human beings when they had to live just like the rest of us.
That's right. That sort of led me to thinking about, you know, what about people who don't have anything and then get a lot of money and what happens to them? And so I was thinking about lottery winners.
Very timely topic.
Right.
Because there's been some huge Powerball jackpots mm-hmm. lately.
Today, when I was Googling for some information that I have yet to read, a lot of these articles about like what to do if you win $2 billion were from this week.
Right. Somebody just won one single ticket sold in California.
Yeah.
Won the largest Powerball jackpot in history.
So what's interesting, this is an article from the New York Times from the 10th. So where are we? Today's the 14th. So 4 days ago. So yeah, this just happened, right? Somebody won the Powerball in Los Angeles County. And there's some advice in this article about like what to do. What do you do?
You have like a year to claim it, right?
Well, right. But like, so, what I mean, steps you have should you take? Time
to go talk to a financial advisor or.
But is that what everybody does? Or do they fucking say, I won the lottery and like, well, tell all everybody?
So funny you say that, because I just saw this thing the other day about like people who go and claim their lottery prize and, you know, they take a photo of them with like the huge check. And they'll be wearing like furry costumes or whatever because they're concealing their identity.
Oh.
Because you can claim it anonymously. I think the other thing you can do is have like your attorney claim it, you know, on hang your behalf on. Or something.
It depends on the state you're in.
Oh, okay.
So this article from the New York Times, it's actually talking about TikTok creators who are cashing in on financial advice, basically.
And okay.
They're specifically talking about this woman, Vivian Tu, who was a JP Morgan Chase trader turned financial content creator, better known on TikTok as the name Your Rich BFF. And her like first piece of advice is basically keep your mouth shut. Like, you think you know people, but when there's $2 billion involved,
suddenly
you
don't know people. Everyone is your best friend.
Right. Or trying to have you killed for the money or something. But she's saying, you're going to want to try to stay anonymous if at all possible. But then this article says in some states, including California, lottery winners are required to disclose their identities. So that won't help this particular winner in California. Maybe when they're taking the photo with the giant check, they can wear a mascot outfit or whatever, but their name's going to be public record.
So I'm looking at a couple. The one that I was thinking of with the guy with the furry costume on, that was actually in China. And it's hilarious looking.
Show me.
So it's actually fairly common. I'm looking at one with a guy in a furry yellow bear costume, somebody in a panda costume. There's one with somebody claiming their prize with a scream mask on.
Are these all not in the U.S.?
That was in Jamaica. Yeah. So
do we do the big checks here? Is that a thing that happens here? Like, it's not fucking Ed McMahon and Publishers Clearinghouse.
Publishers Clearinghouse still a thing?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think so. Those are costumes they're wearing.
Look at this.
Those are silly. Is that a dumpling?
I don't know.
What is that?
It's really cute, though. But I guess I would say that if I won the lottery, I don't think I would even tell my family or anything until after I talked to a financial advisor.
Yeah.
Would you take the cash payout or would you take the annuity?
That I don't know. And I feel like it might depend on the amount that I won. So you can expect to pay, literally reading these articles as we go here, folks. Sorry. Bear with me. For the lump sum, you can go ahead and estimate about 50% of the number that you're seeing flashed on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
So if this $2 billion winner takes the lump sum, they'll get $1 billion pre-tax. So then they have to pay tax on that.
Wait a minute. Why? I thought that the half would be after tax. Why do you only get half?
Because let's see if I can remember my fucking finance and accounting classes from college. When you take the lump sum, theoretically, you can then go invest it yourself and make more money on it. But you have control over the investing and where that money, you know, what's being made on that money.
Right.
When you take the annuity, you're guaranteed the payment over time.
And how long is the annuity?
I think 30 years, but I think it depends on the particular lottery program.
So it probably also your age would factor into it, right?
Totally. Like if I was
25, probably want the annuity.
Well, again, it depends on the amount though. But like, yeah, it's all pre-tax. Whatever you think of, if you have $2 billion and you're doing the annuity, that $2 billion is pre-tax. If you choose to take the lump sum, you get half, and that's pre-tax. So that person, if they take the lump sum, is actually probably going to get about $500 million, which is a pittance.
Yeah, that's hardly anything.
Like, why bother? Like, just never mind. Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
If you were to win the lottery, how much money do you think would actually change your life, and what would you do with it?
Well, it sure isn't like it used to be.
Right.
You know, like you used to think like, oh, if you got $1 million, like you're set for life, right? And
wait, who thought that?
Well, I don't know. When I was like 14, I probably thought that, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I hesitate to say what sounds like it could set you up for life now, maybe in 20 years.
But we're talking now. Right. We're not talking in 20 years.
Fine. No caveats. Okay. I think that it would have to be like 5 million or more to actually be life changing. If you consider the fact that a regular average home
Seattle
is like $1-1.5 million.
It's insane.
It is. It's completely insane. And it's not cheap to live here. Like even if your house was paid for, you know, like taxes, food,
car registration,
utilities, everything is expensive. So it's not like that would be, I'm never going to work again money.
That's give me a little time off to figure out how to monetize this shit money.
I don't even think I'd quit my job if I made $5 million.
I would. And then I would make this my job.
Or if I won $5 million. Oh, okay. I mean,
I'm not saying you would.
It would certainly take the pressure off of making a mortgage payment and paying for my kids' college and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't think it's like a set you up for the rest of your life money.
Agreed.
Which is
sad.
Shitty. But
crazy. Yeah.
It's the truth. So I don't know what the magic number is. I think it also kind of comes down to your age.
Mm-hmm.
$5 million if you're like 75 is different than getting $5 million when you're 40.
Right.
So.
And you can talk about investing it all you want, but like there's no fucking guarantees there either.
Right. I mean, right now, you know, investing feels bleak, although if you can play the long game, then you could probably make some money on it. Anyway, so I don't know the answer to that, but I would say that it would have to be a significant amount for me to just say, like, fuck it and quit my job. And
yeah, it's been years that I've been saying, I remember having this conversation before I was married. Somehow we were talking about, like, what if you win the lottery or whatever? And I remember saying then, so... fuck, 16 years ago, that $1 million wouldn't change our lives.
I think that's true where we live anyway.
I mean, 16 years ago.
It would change, like for me, it would change my life in that like maybe I could pay off my house and then not have that mortgage payment every month. But I wouldn't be like moving into a much nicer house or, quitting my job or anything. No,
there's a lot to be said for having the means to take some stress out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Please give me $1 million so I can do that. That'd be great. I'm not saying I wouldn't appreciate it. I'm just saying it wouldn't really change my day to day. It's not like I could stop working. It's not like I could move into a giant house. It's not, you know, my life would stay the same. I would still live in my house. I would still do what I do.
And then you look at how many large, beautiful homes and yachts and all the things that we can see just driving around here. And you can see why people from other countries think that America is so
disgusting.
Rich.
Sorry. was that the wrong word?
I was going to say like so wealthy because there is so much fucking money in this country. It's just, you know,
it's
disproportionate.
That's the thing, is it's completely fucking divided. This is a whole rabbit hole that you don't want me to go down because I'm going to start ranting about things.
You're right.
But let me just say that capitalism is a fucking problem and then we can move on. Anyway, should we win a whole lot of money, what would you do?
Oh, I wasn't prepared for these questions.
Well, we're talking about money, so I want to know.
I thought we were going to talk about other people's money.
Right, but can we dream while we're doing that?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, if it was enough money, I would definitely...
Let's say you won... $100 million.
Let's say I won the last Powerball.
So $2 billion.
Apparently, I'm netting about $500 million.
Okay.
Which feels like a ripoff.
You know what? It's fine. It's something, I guess.
Okay. So I would probably buy multiple homes in all the places I love the most.
Okay. Where would those be?
What? You have to get this detailed?
What the fuck, man? We're dreaming here.
Okay. Well, something nice in Seattle, like on the water, probably.
Of course.
Something in Montana.
Obviously.
Something in New York, for sure.
Mm, nice penthouse apartment somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. Hell in the city.
In Manhattan.
Something in Alaska.
Oh, okay.
And then, I don't know, maybe like a flat in London or something.
Okay.
I would definitely want to make sure all of my family members are comfortable financially. Like all their houses paid off.
Sure.
Student loans, like five nieces and nephews that still had them, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely give some money to friends.
Thank you.
And I think I would be really careful about giving money to my kids.
Yeah.
Because I would still want them to, like, not be spoiled assholes and go to college and work for things. But I think I would just, like, travel a lot,
yes.
You know? I mean, I have kids, so some of it might need to be delayed. But I would want to go see a bunch of shit and do a bunch of shit and, you know, just have that freedom to go wherever, whenever. And then, of course, there would be charitable contributions and there would be certain things that I would want, like, that I'm passionate about.
Sure.
Like, I'm passionate about youth sports, so I would want to contribute or set something up, you know, to that, to help, like, certain communities. And is that enough? You tell me what you would do.
That's a lot. Good job.
What would you do if you won $500 million?
Much of the same. I would definitely have some vacation homes around.
Sure.
Where? There would be definitely something beachy.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like Hawaii or Hawaii. Gulf of Mexico. I
forgot to put Hawaii on my list.
Yeah, I don't know. I love the penthouse in New York idea. I definitely would travel. I haven't done nearly as much of that in my life as I would like to because I don't have $500 million or a lot of time. But yeah, my eldest and I, a few years ago, when I never buy lottery tickets. Like, once every 5 years, maybe I'll be like, today's the day. I'm going to win. And and so far, that has not worked out.
So weird. Wait, are you about to reveal something?
No, I have nothing to reveal. But we talked about, okay, so we're going to buy this ticket and we're going to win, blah, blah, blah. And obviously, I knew we weren't going to win. And I made sure they knew we weren't going to win as well.
Yeah.
But it was like, okay, so what's our dream house? What does that look like? And they were like, we're going to have a Seahawks room for Dad. We were still together at that point. We're going to have a craft room for you. We're going to have a wine cellar. That's not your house,
I'm
bitch.
I'm sorry. I tried to control that from coming out and it came out anyway. I'm sorry.
It was very fast for having tried to control.
Sorry. While you're crafting, I'll be in the wine room.
I have both.
Okay.
Maybe they're connected. Guess what? Some of us like to do things with our hands while we drink stuff.
I like to do things with my hands, but...
Okay, well, me too, but shut up. Anyway, and then we were like, there's going to be a lazy river through the house, and there's going to be, like, every set of stairs will have a slide attached to it. I mean, there were
will
just
there
like...
Will there be pool boys?
Fuck yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be cabanas
I'm
and,
coming
like, a
over.
Grotto and, you know, all of the ridiculous shit.
Okay.
It's exorbitant things, right? That really people never, ever need. And it's just playtime. When you have that much money, it's just fucking playtime. And, like, I think that I wouldn't actually be able to do any of that stuff because I would constantly be thinking about what good that money could do elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. So the charitable stuff, absolutely. I would be giving to education. I would be giving to Planned Parenthood. I would be giving to anything anti-gerrymandering. But no matter where I was, I would definitely have a wine cellar.
You could have, like,
so don't worry.
A wine cellar and then just a Prosecco cellar. Like, one whole cellar just for Prosecco.
You know what? I'm going to dig really far down, and it's going to be a cave because it needs to be all kept cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like a Prosecco cave under my house.
Prosecco waterfall.
Oh. No, because the carbonation would go away really fast.
That's true.
How can we Willy Wonka some Prosecco?
Willy Wonka scared me when I was a kid, by the way.
Yeah, he's terrifying.
Let's talk about people that have that kind of fuck off money. So much money that they're just like, I'm going to be an asshole because I have this kind of money to lose.
Again, like, everyone go watch Loot on Apple TV.
Like, we have a very current example in Kyrie Irving with the Brooklyn Nets. He's a guard for the Brooklyn Nets. No question, he's an exceptional talent. I think he was a first-round draft pick a few years ago, and he's a really fucking good basketball player.
Yep.
And, you know, we treat professional athletes like God in this country.
It's pretty gross, actually.
He has had a variety of things over the last couple of years that he's done that have cost him basically what's estimated to be a total of about $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
He is somebody that refused to be vaccinated. That alone cost him over $100 million estimated. He missed 53 games as a result of that, and they did not extend his contract. Most recently, very recently, there was this big issue with him where he got suspended for what they're saying is the harmful impact of his conduct as a result of a social media post.
Yeah.
About a book and a movie that contain anti-Semitic ideas. They asked him to basically clarify that that's not his position and he doesn't have that kind of hate. And he refused to take a position. He is now. He's coming out now and saying, well, you know, of course I don't feel that way.
Now it's damage control.
Maybe it is, or maybe it's him. Like, he clearly is a stubborn person who digs in his heels and says, you know, nobody can force me to say or do anything.
Which he has every right to do.
Sure.
And the consequences are going to apply.
Right. The consequences are $300 million. And... yeah. You know, people are estimating that he's losing and going to lose hundreds of millions in advertising money.
Going forward.
Like I was reading an article today where somebody called him poison for advertisers. So Nike was about to release his Kyrie 8 shoe.
Yep.
And all his prior shoes have sold like a ton, like hotcakes.
I believe that there's been a little bit of a contentious relationship, though, because at one point he publicly said something about one of the previous like prototypes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was this line or something before, basically being shit, saying that Nike was like, this is garbage.
He clearly enjoys stirring the pot. And,
yeah.
And they obviously didn't terminate their relationship. But with this recent behavior, they've terminated it.
Well, when you align yourself with Holocaust deniers.
Right.
I mean, sure. Go ahead and say it. You have free speech.
Right.
You are free to speak. You are not free from the consequences.
So, but what's interesting to me here is that obviously he's demonstrated that this is going to be his approach to the world. You know, if he is challenged, he will double down. But, you know, Nike was about ready to release this shoe. That means, you know, that they had them manufactured and ready to go out on shelves and they pulled them and they're
not going to.
Yeah, they're not going to market with them. So it's like, that's a bold statement and, in my personal opinion, appropriate. But also, I'm like, damn, how much is that costing Nike?
Yeah.
What are they going to do with all these shoes that they paid to have manufactured? They probably don't even want to give them to charity or anything because they don't want people wearing them. Because they don't want their brand to be a reflection, like supporting and endorsing that kind of behavior.
Yeah. I would hope that they could figure out how to spin that for themselves and for everybody else so that they could still make good use of those shoes. Because especially now going into winter,
right,
one of the biggest items that people who are experiencing homelessness need are fucking socks and shoes.
Well, so maybe they can modify the branding somehow.
They've
also
do something good with them.
Cut the prices on the prior Kyries that are out there. I mean, they're just kind of trying to get rid of them.
Talk about being canceled.
True, but also, like, you have to have a certain combination of arrogance, ignorance, fuck off money, you know, whatever, to not care about costing yourself like $300 million with your behavior.
Well, there is going to be a point at which he does care. How much he has to lose might sound absolutely ridiculous to us, but there will be some number where he's now lost this and the earning power going forward because nobody will touch him with a 10-foot fucking pole.
Right. And we're not just talking about advertisers. I mean, he played in like half the games this season.
Well, and they let him go, didn't they?
Well, so he's suspended and it coincided with a new coach being brought in. And the new coach was basically saying, yeah, he's suspended, but it's not just like he's suspended and then we're done. Like, we need to, there needs to be some conversations. Like, is this still the right fit, this organization for you? Like, is this still something that we want to continue?
And the deeper you dig, the harder it's going to be to atone. And he doesn't seem like somebody who's going to want to atone. So
on the flip side, you know, there are other people that are saying it's too far because it's a social media post and people post shit on social media that is dumb, thoughtless, they regret it, whatever. And later, like, fuck, I shouldn't have put that up there. And then they delete it. And so some people are saying, wow, this is an extreme reaction. Like, he posted something dumb. He has come out and said, listen, I don't have anything against Jews. I just said that this was like a very thought-provoking documentary, whatever. Well, so it's kind of how you spin it, I guess.
I guess, but
this is sort of a callback, I think, to our cancel culture episode where some people are saying he made a mistake, he posted something he shouldn't have, and now he's being canceled, and that ain't right.
Well, first of all, everyone who's canceling him, and I don't mean random Joe on Twitter saying, I hate you or whatever. I mean, the companies that are severing ties with him are private companies who are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want.
Well, also, right? I would argue that he has had opportunities
yes.
to say, or he is now, but he had opportunities right away to say, you know what? I fucked up there. I yeah. made a mistake. I shouldn't have posted that. Those aren't my beliefs. I'm sorry if I offended anyone. It's like too late. He's just too little too late.
He didn't do himself any favors.
So the whole idea that he's like being canceled unfairly, I don't know if I'm on board with that because he had his chance.
And for whatever this means, he did this at a time when the world was already a fire with Kanye bullshit. So
that's true. And
had this happened at a different time,
some of the same hate too.
Yeah. Had this happened at a different time, I don't know that the corporation's responses would have been as swift and as harsh, but he essentially was propagating the same bullshit that Kanye is. I mean, Kanye is claiming he lost $2 billion in a day. I don't know if that number is correct, but I know that he's no longer a billionaire.
So maybe we should back it up and talk about what's been going on with Kanye in case people don't pay attention to that noise.
To be fair, I am a person who does not pay attention to that noise. And I only know about this because I was thinking about talking about it today and I printed an article.
Well, you and I have talked about it.
But I didn't really understand what it was that had happened that led to this. I knew that he was running his mouth and getting himself in trouble, but I didn't, and I knew that there was anti-Semitic rhetoric, but I didn't really know what was happening.
And to be clear, just coming out of the gate saying, we know that he suffers from mental illness. We know that he has stated on the record that he does not like taking medication for that because he thinks that it impedes his creativity and his creative thought process and his art. So some of his behavior could potentially be attributed to that mental illness that is unmedicated.
Yeah. And to that, I would say that for anyone who's experiencing that kind of stuff to some degree, especially when you have the resources to be able to help yourself.
Sure.
That's one of those, it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility moments.
Right. It doesn't mean that you don't have to pay a consequence. You may have an excuse, but that doesn't mean that there are no consequences for you.
Yeah. So I don't have the full account of what happened, but it was this ongoing, like every day he kind of dug his hole a little deeper. Mm-hmm. I believe that it started with he had been on this on an episode of the Drink Champs podcast. And he said, the thing about it being Adidas is like, I can literally say anti-Semitic shit and they can't drop me. I can say anti-Semitic things and Adidas can't drop me. Now what?
Why was he implying that? Because it's a German company.
It's a German company.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He repeatedly made derogatory comments about Jewish people. And then at a fashion show in Paris, at Paris Fashion Week, at his fashion show, he and some people with him wore White Lives Matter shirts. Now, that makes very little sense to me, given that he is a Black man. Mm-hmm. Though we've seen some of his leanings in the last few years, certainly not aligning with a lot of Black people. But I think we've all heard the retort, but all lives matter. But specifically, the White Lives Matter is a neo-Nazi slogan. Mm-hmm. So that was when Adidas was like, we're done with you. Things sort of dominoed after that. He, of course, I don't know what he said specifically, but he didn't handle that well, didn't apologize for anything.
Well, if you think you're untouchable and then it turns out you're not, that probably isn't well received.
So he ended up losing his partnerships with Adidas, The Gap, Balenciaga, TJ Maxx, Foot Locker, and his Essentials playlist was pulled from Apple Music.
Okay.
Yeah. So
about his Yeezy line? I mean,
I believe that it is now owned by someone else.
Oh, really?
Or something? What did I see? Hold on. Oh, this is like from The Onion or something. Never mind. That was not a thing. The thing is that there are companies that make those things. And like, is his Yeezy line entirely his own company? or are there other companies behind that that have then cut ties? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was his. He certainly started it, but I don't know the nuances of whether he sold any interest in it or what.
Well, there is that company Endeavor, who the CEO, Ari Emanuel, had urged companies to stop working with Kanye. And Endeavor, I believe, was like talent agency and merchandising and all that. And then he posted something to Instagram at the end of October that said, Ari Emanuel, I lost $2 billion in one day and I'm still alive. This is love speech. I still love you. God still loves you. The money is not who I am. The people is who I am. Whatever that means. But this article from Billboard magazine says the Swift reprisals have taken an axe to a war chest Kanye once claimed as closer to $3.3 billion, but which Forbes now estimates is in the still formidable $400 million range.
For now.
And that all happened in like a month.
The internet is telling me, this is actually a CNN article, that it's kind of confusing because the Yeezy brand is owned by Kanye, who goes by Yee.
Mm-hmm.
But the Yeezy shoe designs are Adidas's intellectual property.
Yeah.
So it says they won't be able to use his individual trademarks, but the designs themselves they can reuse because they own them. Also, this is kind of funny at the beginning of this article. It says, after a social media uproar, Adidas cut ties with Yee, the artist formerly known as Kanye West and formerly known as a billionaire.
Dave Chappelle hosted Saturday Night Live this past week. Today's Monday the 14th, so he was there Saturday the 12th. I watched his monologue yesterday online, and he talks quite a lot about this.
Okay.
And I think everyone should go check it out.
Give us the flavor. Like, what did he...
Oh, it's Dave Chappelle, man. I can't...
Oh, I know. He's going to go balls to the wall, but like...
Yeah, I can't possibly do it justice.
Well, tell me this. Was he supporting or making fun of Ye?
He was essentially like, you gone too far, man.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even want to try because I'm going to fucking butcher it. And
because you're a white girl.
Because I'm no Dave Chappelle. I don't know if anybody knows that I'm different than him, but he's a lot funnier than me.
As long as you know.
Oh, I know. Anyway, it's worth watching.
Okay.
It's probably the longest monologue on SNL that I've seen in a long time.
I really love me some SNL.
I know.
And I know it's hit or miss for you.
It is. I will say that it depends on who the host is. And I almost always love Weekend Update.
Weekend Update's the greatest.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any articles about lottery winners who
yes.
have just fucked themselves by
yes.
winning the lottery and then squandering it all and then putting themselves in a worse financial position than before they won the lottery?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Okay. So there are several, obviously. I feel like there have been documentaries made about the curse that comes along with winning the lottery. People do not tend to do well.
Yeah, I think I've watched some of those.
Yeah. Quite frankly, I have to imagine that it's mainly because the people winning lotteries are not people who've had money. And so they just genuinely don't have any fucking idea what to do.
Right, or they
right?
just
or
they
how to act.
They don't realize how fast that money's gonna go.
Right. Basically. Well, and like we talked about earlier, you know, you win $2 billion, except you're taking home a quarter of that,
mm-hmm.
which again is still redonkulous money. But it's not $2 billion. So a lot of the lists of the winners who lost it all are people who won like $10 million or under. Anybody could squander that real fast. Which sounds ridiculous, but really, if you think about it, you could pretty easily spend a couple $1 million on dinners out and travel and whatever, and it would just be gone.
So this is kind of sad. Do you have info there on Bud Post?
I sure do.
Oh, God. Let's talk about Bud.
Oh, Bud. He won a Pennsylvania lottery of $16.2 million in 1988, and he did not do well. His girlfriend sued him for a share of the winnings, and she won.
But why? Like, why was she entitled?
I don't know.
Maybe she helped pay for the ticket.
Here's 50 cents? Like, what the fuck?
Maybe. Maybe he paid for another joint account.
Okay. Then his brother hired a hitman.
That's right.
He was going to take him out.
He could kill him, and then he would inherit the winnings.
Yeah, and other relatives were demanding money, and oh, God, I didn't see this. Within a month of winning, he filed for bankruptcy and had $1 million in debt.
Within a year.
This USA Today article from last year says within a month of winning.
This Business Insider article says he was $1 million in debt within a year. It seems also like that'd be really weird within a month.
We have conflicting sources.
Anyway. How could he be bankrupt in a month?
In a month?
No.
That does seem ridiculous, doesn't it?
It also says, so he said, I wish it never happened. It was totally a nightmare. I was much happier when I was broke. So then he ended up living on $450 a month and food stamps until he died in 2006.
That is so sad.
Real brutal.
So let's see. This is kind of the like the curse of it, not so much necessarily about the money, but there's this guy, Jack Whitaker. He won $315 million in West Virginia in 2002. Apparently, he was already a millionaire, according to Time magazine.
Why? Millionaires shouldn't be able to buy lottery tickets, goddammit.
Pretty sure there's no check at the counter when you go buy a ticket or at the machine. This says, just 4 years later, the then construction company president claimed he went broke. Tragedies swarmed his life. Ugh. His granddaughter and daughter died soon after from drug overdoses.
Oof.
Then Whitaker was robbed of I want to see how this happened. Robbed of $545,000 while sitting in his car at a strip club.
I mean,
buddy, why do you have that much cash in your car at a strip club?
Haven't you seen, what is that movie called?
Hustlers?
Hustlers.
Yeah. Jesus. The lottery is fucking problematic.
I went on a date once with a guy whose sister had won the lottery.
Really?
But unfortunately, they were estranged. They were estranged before she won the lottery. So,
oh, yeah, you're not getting back in after.
Yeah, so I think he was like, dang.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have heard the lottery described as a tax on the poor. Have you ever heard
How
that?
So?
Because they're generally, not. Who plays the lottery?
But they're not required to.
Of course not. There are people who habitually play the lottery.
Yeah. There are people who habitually put money into a slot machine as well.
Right. I know. So there's this Vox article from 2016 called Four Ways the Lottery Preys on the Poor. And it's long and I'm not going to read it all. But it says there was a bodega owner in Connecticut that sold lottery tickets. He obtained a database from the Connecticut Lottery containing 21 years worth of winners. And he found that it is poor and largely minorities who are often the addicts of playing the lottery. And the demographics are similar nationwide. The data shows that most lottery tickets are bought in poor neighborhoods. Most lottery tickets are bought in places with more minorities. Powerball is not the problem. It's the smaller games. It's the, like, you know, little local lotteries and scratch tickets and pick three or pick four or whatever. And then a lot of people in financial trouble think it's the only way to accumulate money. Apparently, 1 in 5 Americans believe the lottery is the only way they can accumulate a significant amount of savings. The marketing mainly preys on this kind of vulnerable population.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, nobody is required Mm-mm. to buy a ticket.
Certainly not.
I was just looking and there are literally so many articles about people whose lives basically went to shit after winning the lottery that, like,
yeah,
we could never even talk about them all. We could talk about it for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
There was a lady who won $5 million in a Canadian lottery and she put $2 million of that away for her daughter who was like a secret child she'd had with a lover or something.
Oh. Scandalous.
And when her husband found out, he poisoned her.
Oh.
Killed her.
Shit.
And then asked her family to help pay for the funeral.
Ah.
Did you know that
wow.
most states have I talked about this before? Slayers and abusers statutes, where if you murder somebody that you would normally have inherited money
right.
from, you're legally blocked from inheriting.
Good.
Or if you, you know, abuse them. If you,
that's a good thing.
Well, I mean, as long as they were actually convicted, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. If it's not on paper in the legal system, then.
We could do a whole episode, and maybe we should someday, on elder abuse, because I see a lot of it in my work, and
yeah.
it's really fucked up because the people who most frequently do that shit are their own relatives.
Their kids.
Their own children, their own grandchildren. Like
nieces and nephews. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The people who are tasked with caring for them and being responsible for them in those years are the ones taking advantage of them.
Maybe we should just do an episode on greed. It's a powerful thing.
Absolutely. Funny you say that. So one of the podcasts that we met the hosts of at that Pacific Northwest True Crime Fest that we went to was LA Not So Confidential. And it is a forensic psychology podcast, which is right the fuck up my alley.
Yeah.
And
Michelle was like orgasming.
Oh my God, I was very excited. And so I've been listening to it, and I sort of started by jumping around with, like, I would look for the topics I wanted to listen to. And then I've just gone back to the beginning and started from the beginning. So I'm going to listen to it all. And if you have any interest in that kind of stuff at all, I would highly recommend it. They're wonderful. But they do have an episode on elder abuse, and I have not listened to that one yet.
I've been at seminars and things for work where we've had people from the FBI come in and talk about elder abuse cases that they've investigated, and it is unreal what people will do and the lengths that they'll go to.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of that is motivated by greed.
What is the name of that movie that Demi Moore was
Ghost.
In? Not G.I. that Jane. One. No, the one where
Striptease.
The guy pays $1 million.
Striptease.
No, that's not it. Pays $1 million. He says to the guy, I'll give you $1 million for one night with your wife.
Oh, fuck.
Indecent Proposal.
Yes, that one.
That's what it is.
It's basically the same as G.I. Jane and Striptease.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Anyway, that is really interesting because it's an interesting, like, ethical conversation. Remember when our friend's son asked us if we would lick that spider for $10 million?
I believe it was and $6
million. Oh, whatever. And I was like, well, I have arachnophobia, but I would do it for that.
Yeah, 100%.
Would you, what do you think you would do in that situation? Not the spider licking, the sex. Let's say you're remarried to somebody who made you very happy. You were very fulfilled. And then this offer came along. Because you're amazing and incredible, and who wouldn't want to sleep with you?
Fucking right, I am.
And pay $1 million. And you and your husband were like, it's just sex, it's just one night, and we could do a lot with $1 million. Do you think you could do it?
Okay. Now, please refer back to episode, I believe, 93.
Jesus, how do you remember these?
I don't know. For those of you who've been here for a while, you know that I was in an open marriage for a while.
Is 93 so, open enrollment? I'm looking it up.
That is what I think.
Nope. 93 is I do or I don't.
90. It's episode 90.
It was even earlier? Yep. It was 90.
90. Okay. Anyway, my point being, my answer might have been different before I had gone through that.
Interestingly.
Having gone through that, I feel like I wouldn't necessarily jump at the chance or anything, but I would be more open to the conversation because I do think that assuming that there's buy-in from all parties involved and everyone's on the same page and comfortable with whatever's happening, there can absolutely be room for extracurriculars in a loving, committed relationship that is not going to end. So if everyone was on board and I got to have $1 million, then sure, is what I'm saying.
Honestly, what I think it comes down to is, can you and your partner emotionally separate the act of having sex from the emotional intimacy?
Right. That's why I say I think my answer would be different now than it was before having gone through a year of open marriage, because I've learned a lot about
compartmentalizing feelings in that
sure
space.
But also about how they're not mutually exclusive, and like
sure.
Love doesn't mean sex. Sex doesn't mean love. They can absolutely go together
right.
And enhance each other 100%.
Right.
And hopefully they do.
Right.
But it's not like you have to have one to have the other.
Absolutely.
So I think, again, assuming everyone was on board and in the know and all the things, then I do think I could. I bet you could.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. not even a question.
No, it's I could, and I'm not bragging about that because I do like sex with emotional intimacy too,
sure.
But I also just really like sex in general. And for me, like, I can and do and have fuck without deep feelings.
Also without getting $1 million. So imagine there was that on top of
it. There is so many millions coming my way. But I mean, I can separate it, you know, like I don't have to be like, it doesn't have to be some big romantic love story now, for me.
When divorce made me 23, Megan, when I was 38.
I was there. I remember.
You were there.
It was a good time.
Yeah. I also really figured out how to dissociate in that way.
But dissociate from, oh, this doesn't have to be like fairy tale romance,
right. Yeah.
But it can still be fun and enjoyable. Right. And
exactly. Well, if there's anybody out there who would like to pay me $1 million and have sex.
Now. Also not mutually exclusive. She'll take one or the other or both.
I honestly, at this point, prefer the $1 million. So if you're just offering one, let's talk about that first. Anywho, everyone should win some money and give it all to charity.
Aww.
And may I just end with the statement that I don't think billionaires should exist.
Okay.
I don't.
Always gotta pull out that soapbox.
Fucking right.
At least once before the end of the episode.
Who am I if not?
We're talking about indecent proposal.
You know, I would be like the Robin Hood of sex with billionaires. What if?
Wait, how?
Because they would pay me the $1 million each time and I would go give it to charity.
So charity is your pimp?
Yes. As long as it's the right charity, I can feel good about it.
Well, I can feel good in a different way and live with that. So I would probably take the $1 million and not give it to charity. But if you want to fuck people for money and then give it all to charity, you do it, Robin Hood.
If I do it enough times, I can keep like one of the $1 million. Right? I need to be compensated for my time also.
Find a way to justify it. Whatever makes you feel good about it.
I feel pretty good about it, actually. I like this plan. So if you'd like to make that happen for me, please find us online at prosecotheory.com.
Wow. You can make that arrangement at cheers@prosecotheory.com.
That's right.
We're just like hoeing ourselves out at this point.
Just slide into our DMs at Prosecco Theory on Instagram.
Cool. Current pick, please.
Shameless. And I'm going to make a t-shirt that says charity is my pimp. Absolutely. That's happening.
You have to make the fabulous cat lady sticker first.
That's also going to happen. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Okay, so folks, you know all the things. You're going to rate, you're going to review, you're going to subscribe, you're going to tell your friends, you're going to help us make a splash online. And I'm going to say cheers to my friend Megan here.
Okay, cheers, my friend Michelle.